Chapter 22. Horace had done an excellent job getting everything prepared to host what was shaping up to be a horde of the worst house guests in the history of the universe. Ugh, pirates. What the Falcon Man and no doubt Vel and Bowden managed to accomplish with the limited means and space was an event fit for a king, in my opinion. There were several long wooden tables that were all ingeniously capable of converting into half a dozen collapsible sleeping cots when the banquet was concluded. Each table had been thoughtfully adorned with fine linens, candelabras with lit taper candles, and a full set of fine ceramic plate settings and silverware. All of it was best ignored and at worst ruined in favor of the debauchery the pirate gang preferred over any small hospitality touches my crew had worked so hard on. When I entered the ballroom, it honestly reminded me of the first toga party scene in National Lampoon's Animal House. Half-clothed people were running all over the place laughing, singing, and generally being drunken buffoons. The gang of roustabouts were clearly already wasted on good wine, and that strong brandy Jenner always kept on hand. And I made a mental note to replenish his stores, because at the rate these men were going, the Koala Man's special stash wouldn't make it through the night if it hadn't been depleted already. It was an exercise in evasive maneuvers, just getting myself to the main table where my guests of honor were stationed along with the Mech Sisters. As I approached, I had to seriously check my temper, because with Amaya's refusal to leave her sister alone, Captain Lerman had finally taken an interest in her and was now all up in her grill, which I very much did not like. Ahem. I cleared my throat and then insinuated myself in between them, so the red panda was forced to scoot away from Amaya. Enjoying yourselves, are we?
Oh, don't get you, Krev,
Lerman finally blurted out. And I turned to face him with a neutral expression on my face, even though I was surprised he was once again giving me such an easy foothold into his jealousy.
You have all of this, and even a shining reputation to go with it, and you'd rather live as a civil servant back at that landfill of an estate.
The timing was still too soon to push him too hard, but I could give him a little nudge. So I sighed heavily and picked at the sumptuous spread of victuals laid out on the stained tablecloth like it was cafeteria sloppy joes instead of the freshest fruits, cheeses, and salted meats honey could buy. It is all the same song and dance, I remarked as I eyed a purple berry between my thumb and forefinger before I popped it into my mouth.
What do you mean by that? He asked,
and he attempted and failed to keep the interested edge out of his voice.
Are you weary of life?
Don't get me wrong, I quite like living. But no matter what I do, I am bound, you see, I explained, and made him believe I was opening up to him. Whether it be by my bastard of a brother or by the rules of my disguises.
That was before,
Lerman exclaimed, and shook me roughly by the shoulder.
When you were jumping from low rank to low rank. But now you're inhabiting a god-class duelist. Think of the possibilities.
And be constrained by the council and all of their archaic mores? I snorted. No, thank you. If anything, I envy your unfettered life full of adventure and excitement more than this.
It probably makes my life look more shiny when you consider Carvo, eh?
Lerman asked as he nudged me in the ribs.
He considers me a colleague at this point, given I paid off my debts to him. You could be free of yours. That clever face you have is full of possibilities.
The tone of the pirate captain's voice lowered a bit, like he was trying to seduce me into some sort of idea he had brewing. And I hoped it was along the same train of thought I was on. So, like the brilliant actor I was, I paused and stroked my chin like I really was considering what he was implying, which was to take his place, perhaps, instead of leading him down that very road with all of my meticulous planning. Just then, the doors to the ballroom opened with a bang as Vela and Arvid flung them both wide open on their hinges until they hit the adjacent walls. The action and boom that accompanied it was enough to get the entire hall's attention, and the din of the noisy bacchanalia ceased. This brief bit of silence was all my two wives needed to start their show, and Zoe, my Varthan warrior, kicked things off with an ear-splitting battle yowl.
"Row!"
she cried out and was answered almost immediately by my second wife, Shay.
"Hi-ya!"
the phoenix woman yelled as Zoe did a series of backflips down the center aisle while Shay chased her. All the while, Shay was slinging what I believed to be rocks at the catwoman as she continued to vault toward center stage. But whatever the projectile hit, they exploded into familiar chalky explosions of different colors. It seemed as if Shay had pulled off the ball-like tops of some dust reeds so she could use them in her sling. Clever girl. The corners of my mouth twitched upward for a millisecond in a proud smile, when all of the drunkards in the audience were easily captivated by the two scantily clad goddesses fighting each other with exploding color bombs. Like warrior acrobats, Zoe and Shay leapt and danced around one another with fierce yells and skillful attacks as the two women demonstrated their lethal sparring techniques. And I was particularly impressed with how much Shay's hand-to-hand combat skills had improved when they started to grapple. The crowd really did lean in for a good look when my two sexy wives started to wrestle. And I realized just how perfect of a mix between distracting and mesmerizing it was. It was just the thing I needed to kill time until we got closer to the supposed rendezvous with Ozzy and the Akoba. When Horace and I had hammered this out in the library during our strategy session, I was already skeptical about how Ozzy was going to get clear back to Elder Elmer before us. At the time, Horace assured me the Omites were faster in the trees than on land or in the air. The headwind fucking with me was just another reminder about how things could quickly escape my control, and I was glad I'd left this up to Zoe and Horace to take care of. The nervousness I felt above the whole thing melted away, and in its place was the trust I had in my crew. Because while the girls fought, Arvid started to bring in the main course. And behind him was Vela with the tureen of special gravy surprise, guaranteed to look the same way coming out as it did going in. Yummo. Right on time.
"None for me, girl,"
Lerman snapped at the cockatoo woman when she came to our table with the ceramic dish of brown gravy.
"Peasant trash!"
"If this is the food of peasants, then I don't want any as well,"
the rogue said in a snooty voice as he pulled Anwar fully onto his lap like she was his doll. I sighed, but Horace warned me this would be a possibility. Pirate captains often thought of themselves as royalty, and things like gravy or stew were considered no better than gruel served to the rest of their lackeys. But I'd still held on to the hope he would have been too hungry or drunk to care. Oh well. Vela scurried away with the dish, but she continued to shoot rude glares up at the head table every so often, as she slopped a good portion of the toxic stuff onto the meat cutlets and mashed root vegetables, loaded up on whatever plates they hadn't managed to break yet. Atta girl. Make them wish they didn't have assholes by the end.
"You know, I might have a solution to both of our problems,"
Captain Lerman finally spoke up after half of his plate had been devoured. My wives were still going at one another, and I made it seem as if I hadn't really heard him the first time because I was so distracted, which wasn't hard to fake in all honesty. "What are you going on about?" I muttered when he jabbed my bicep.
"I said I think I'll have a solution for the two of us," Lerman said, and slid his empty plate away from himself.
"I wasn't aware you were in need of a solution," I said dryly with an arched eyebrow. "As you purported, you are free of debt from anyone, isn't that correct?" I'd learned from Amaya earlier that the panda captain was actually being controlled by someone, and we had both mistakenly assumed it was Kavo, but he had blatantly told me Kavo considered Lerman as an equal.
"Not from everyone," he admitted and
scratched at his coppery beard that made a scritching noise similar to steel wool.
"Other debts, deeper than mere gold, can stop a person from living a life they want."
The red panda man trailed off as some distant and unpleasant memory seemed to snag his attention back to the past. And while every villain seemed to have a sob story for why they did what they did, I just didn't care. "What are you getting at, Lerman?" I asked, and forced him to focus back on the present. "Speak plainly."
"Become the overseer," the captain said with an earnest look of glee on his red and brown face, like he was the greatest genius in the multiverse. "Take his body and all of that nondescript plain anonymity you desire, and then take my ship and my crew and sail the ocean Mercedes. But first, give me the Bane's old status and his wealth."
"And how do you suppose I do such a thing?" I snorted like I knew what he was talking about, but was just dismissing him like he was crazy or stupid, or both. The truth was, I had no idea how the shapeshifter actually shifted his shape.
"Don't play coy, Krevolder," Lerman said, with another one of those bitter-flavored laughs. "I've seen you stage duels before whenever someone would want to rewrite their lives. You and I used to make a good living with that side business, remember?"
"Indeed," I said as my mind raced. "You propose we duel,
and then right before I deliver the killing blow, you'll transfer your spirit to the old man overseer, and then we can both ride off into Mercedes' arms," the pirate captain said.
"That's simple, huh?" I snorted.
"Well, of course we have to make it look good, because I'll not have any of my new properties or assets try to overthrow the legitimacy of our stage duel," Lerman said. "I'll never forget what happened to Taxton Harperberry, remember? He went and paid us for our services but neglected to do his research on the duelist's estate he inherited. He had no idea the concubine was the mother of the ex-duelist's legitimate heirs, and when the council got through with Taxton, he was worse than dead, stupid idiot."
"Indeed," I said again. "Brightwood's wives were quite loyal to him, and his second wife, Shaelia, is a popular socialite back on Nada. If she knew of our fraud, she could rally a mighty following behind her, including the Asher Lord Gavlain Mech himself."
"Yes, I've heard of the strong alliance between Mech and Brightwood," the Red Panda Man said, with another scruffy chin scratch. "But when I've inherited the estate, the question of her staying with me could be a matter of what I can or cannot get for her at the trader auctions."
"Fair enough," I said with a smirk that felt wrong on my face. "What do you suggest?"
That's the part I'm not sure about," he said.
And I tried really hard not to roll my eyes at how dumb this man was. What was that expression? You could lead a horse to water, but you couldn't make it drink? Yeah, if horse was replaced with fish, that would be even more accurate with this guy. The other way around was an insult to horses. "We still have to do the traditional gift-giving ceremony between guest and host," I drawled, and hoped he would pick up the thread. This idea had to mostly come from the Panda Man, so the clever rogue would be left in the dark as long as augurly possible. That's why it was a blessing when the spark of some intelligence left in the Panda Man's alcohol-soaked brain lit up his squinty eyes.
"This ceremony is an old one, written and overlooked when the new laws came about," he said.
As the gears churned so hard in his head, I was honestly anticipating smoke to come pouring out of his ears. But instead of exploding like one of Robert's victims from rubber, Lerman's gross, plaque-coated grin only got wider.
"And because the old law wasn't changed to include the newer duelist rules or not, if I'm insulted by your gift selection, I could probably get away with challenging you even though I am a no rank."
"That you could," I huffed. Then I sat back in my chair like the possibility of dueling him had never crossed my mind. And this very thing wasn't what I was hoping for at all.
Tempting.
"So you agree my idea has merit?" he asked, like he was desperate for validation. "This way, all the witnesses can say they saw you trash my honor, and it would be their word against Shaelia's jilted scorn if she tried to overturn it.
And don't forget, you have one of the most credible witnesses of them all,"
Rogue Aiken decided to break into our conversation just then, like the know-it-all bitch boy he was.
"An augur and their mage."
At this announcement, he placed a kiss on Anwar's cheek, and I saw Amaya grind her teeth at the sight.
"It's true, Krev," Lerman chuckled. "Aiken here can make anyone believe pretty much anything, especially at such a close range like this. That is why they took away his mage to begin with. He was much too powerful. Speaking of which, what shall become of the wee one?
Amaya cringed at the sound of that stupid nickname, but she stopped herself from reacting in any other way.
Honestly, it's kinda to just put her out of her misery like the runt of the litter or a sick porak,
Rogue Aiken said, in such a dismissive tone that I wanted to make him swallow his teeth. I'm sure you can figure it out after you duel me, Lerman, I decided to say, so we could move this fucker along. The longer I kept up the persona of one of these deplorable reprobates, the more it felt as if I was wearing an itchy wool sweater. Fine at first, but there was a threshold as to how long one could wear it before it became unbearable. That was like this role. And when I glanced across the ballroom at Horace, I saw he was nearly at his limit too. As if Mercedes heard my internal prayer, the Manta ship began to drop in altitude, and I knew we'd reached the lake where this madcap adventure had started. Hopefully Ozzy's people were waiting just on the other side of the tree line, because when I scanned the assembled crowd still watching my two beauties twirling and flipping from silk scarves tied to the rafters, I could see how a few people had already suspiciously wandered off, probably in search of toilets. I knew it wouldn't be long before Revenge of the Peasant Gravy reared its ugly head, so I decided to hurry this along. We are almost docked back at the quarries, I informed, and then downed the rest of my wine. I suggest before we do, we make a spectacle of ourselves,
So, you're in?
Lerman clarified as he snatched the half-full glass from Rogue Aiken.
You're going to stage a duel with me like old times?
You've made a very convincing case, I said with the utmost honesty. I was actually quite shocked with how easy it was to manipulate this imbecile. And if this was how most corrupt politicians felt about being puppet masters, no wonder they connived like they did. The power of setting up each of those individual dominoes and then watching them fall exactly where they should was a high that could become very addicting. There was a certain satisfaction to the long con when it started to pay off, but at what cost? For a split second, I had a sobering moment when I realized this type of mental chess, politics, or whatever name this brand of twisted manipulation went by, was the reason Krav Alda had been toppled from the throne of his own machinations. Add to it the fact the man changed his face so many times, it was a wonder he had any self-identity at all, let alone any moral framework.
Really?
My dastardly companion in fraud pressed with a pinch between his scraggly eyebrows.
You're in? Because I have to be really fucking sure.
I'm in, I said, like the cat to the unassuming canary. All you have to do is start the gifting ceremony, and I will do the rest, but do so quickly. It seems as if some of your compatriots are starting to get restless.
What?
Lerman looked around at the dappled faces of his gang. But before he could say anything else, I excused myself and took up residence in the middle of the ballroom.
Esteemed guests,
I said in a loud and powerful voice, and with a quick glance down, I saw the signet ring Lord Mech gave me start to glimmer slightly. I knew the Ramlord's own inherited traveler gift was his gift of voice, and some of that power was imbued in the ring itself. When it glowed, my own voice seemed enhanced somehow.
I hope your bellies are full to bursting, and all of your muscles are loose and relaxed from a belly full of potent spirits.
Like magic, the faces looking on all seemed to pale at once, and my enhanced voice seemed to be the catalyst to what was going on inside them. When each of my pointed images landed, there was such a visceral reaction, I thought I might have miscalculated how effective I was being. But with the lack of anything gravy-like, I figured it was safe to let the pirate captain take the stage next.
And as is custom for being our host, I'll give to you this set of forged knuckle cuffs, so you may strike your enemies with deadly purpose, he said,
and snapped his fingers. One of his lackeys, a ferrety man looking quite green in the face, walked stiffly forward with a nice-looking leather chest. But when the ferret man had to kneel down on one knee to present the gift of what was essentially brass knuckles, that was a different story, and the poor guy took a while to get down there without shitting himself.
Wonderful, I drawled,
But I already have those. You there, throw them out the window nearest to the lake. I gestured for Amaya to be the one to do as I asked, because I wanted her to get out of the crossfire as quickly as possible. The Oryx woman did as I asked, despite the collective gasps of shock that enveloped the ballroom at my flagrant taboo action.
"Are you rejecting this gift in my presence?"
Captain Lerman announced in a grand Shakespearean way. He even cheated out to the crowd and rolled his R's and everything. A+ for drama class. Idiot. "Not only am I rejecting your shit gift," I said in a low timbre, where I allowed some of the real Alex to start to emerge, "but the gift I give to you is the priceless gift of air that has passed through my body." Before anyone could parse through what exactly I could mean by such a strange phrase, I marched up to the pirate captain, kneed him in the gut so he was hunched over, and then I let one rip so hard in his face that he probably got pink eye. The reaction this set off was beautiful. I almost wished I could have recorded it. For one, I just broke wind in the face of the pirate captain in front of a room full of his subordinates. If I was on Earth, this would probably be equivalent to doing the same thing to the boss at the company Christmas party. And I was pretty sure most of why these pirates all drank so heavily was due to their asshole of a captain. So they all burst into uproarious laughter. It was so gut-busting to some of them that several more of Lerman's gang had to waddle quickly away in an attempt to prevent the powerful laxatives in their systems from winning. Even though we were both supposed to be play-acting, the panda man's face grew almost as red as his beard when he realized he was the butt of the joke, literally, and even better entertainment than my sexy wives wrestling half-naked on the floor. I could see how the constant jealousy of being powerless and not taken seriously finally bubbled over. And when he finally issued the blessed challenge, I knew the conviction behind it was real.
"Alex Brightwood!" the man shouted in a rage. "I challenge you to a duel for rejecting my gift of gratitude. And then to add further insult to the injury, you have humiliated me by mocking a sacred tradition in the most grotesque sort of mockery."
He at least managed to remember to stay in character for those who didn't know I was Krev. So whatever messy fallout would take place paperwork-wise would be less of a disaster, and we could hopefully skip a council trial debating the legitimacy of my duel. But there would be no trial, because I was going to kill this motherfucker so hard there wouldn't be a body left to find. "Awesome," I said, as my eyes darted toward Horace, who had positioned himself directly behind the pirate captain. His gold-green eyes flashed, and I knew he saw me shed my Krev persona like an old coat. "I accept your challenge under one condition." At this, I saw both Lerman and Horace perk up, because this part was of my own doing, and it wasn't something I'd run by either of them.
Condition?
The panda man stuttered, and he visibly struggled to see where I was going with this. "Yes," I said. "A parameter to add on to our duel before we begin."
What is it?"
he asked and shuffled uncertainly on his feet. "I will only duel you if you force your manservant Aiken to undo his mind work on his mage," I stated. Ever since I found out just how much Horace had lost, I knew I had to make it right, and getting Anwar back not just for Horace's sake but for Amaya's as well was imperative.
"He can't do that,"
the rogue blurted out in outrage.
"Yes, he can, because I am the one who purchased you from that pit of slavery you once were beholden to,"
the pirate man snapped. And for the first time, his strange jovial personality was starting to crack, and his cruelty shone through.
"I could always take you back there, where your only use is to have your life force drained from you, so the High One can keep her beauty regimen. But why do you care, Brightwood?"
"I think the chaos adds to the fun," I said with a mad expression I might have borrowed from Heath Ledger's Joker performance in The Dark Knight.
"Fair enough, you crazy bastard,"
Lerman said, with a foul-smelling laugh.
"You heard the man, Aiken. Undo your trickery."
"But she won't love me then,"
he whined like a legit child.
"What does that have to do with anything?"
the other man thundered.
"Do it, or I'll force your belly full of seawater next time we're on the boat."
Aiken pouted for another moment. And in that span of time, I was able to nod at my friend and convey the only message either one of us had been waiting for. Get ready. Then the rogue's hands glowed a sickly green, as he mumbled some sort of ancient words under his breath, and the Ibex woman immediately collapsed into Amaya's waiting arms in a dead faint. Bang. The second Aiken finished whatever hoodoo he did to Anwar, Horace fired an arrow at the rogue's feet like the badass mother he was.
I challenge you, Rogue Aiken, to a duel under Asher Wright for attempting to kidnap my wife,
Horace bellowed out over the crowd. And even I stared at him with an expression of shock. When did they get married? I always figured after the failure of their elopement, they had never tried to wed again. Huh. Horace and I would definitely be adding to our interesting chat I knew was a long time coming and criminally overdue. For now, the strange turn of events had me and my best friend facing off in a double duel neither party could back out of now.
How interesting, Lerman said as he stroked his chin. Weapon of choice?
Bare hands, I said immediately.
What about you? Horace demanded of the rogue. What's your weapon?
You can't be serious, he nearly squeaked. I'm not a duelist. You can't fight me.
I can because you have committed one of the gravest offenses against an Asher by threatening his future family,
the Falcon Man said, as his voice continued to build in power and authority, like some invisible force was charging him up on the inside.
And what would the Order think about a rogue like you? They would thank me even if I didn't have grounds to challenge you.
He's right, you know,
Amaya chimed in, as she stroked her sister's face with the back of her knuckles.
What you've done is the equivalent to mind rape and torture. Your only chance is to fight your way through Horus, because the Order will do much worse to you, as you know.
For the first time, Aiken's face showed a trace of fear before it hardened swiftly in determination.
I choose a dagger, because it seems as if close combat might not be in your skill set, Archer, he said.
Let the duel commence, I yelled out once things had been set.
I was so fucking ready for this, especially because I still had a modicum of surprise on my side, unlike Horace. Lerman still thought I was playing Krev, so my opening salvo was the key to everything.
Didn't think we'd end up here, old friend,
the panda man said, as we stalked around each other in a circle. Strange, I questioned, as I silently examined some of his natural weak spots. It seemed he favored his left hip ever so slightly.
The only thing stranger is the fact you actually think I'm going to leave you alive long enough to let you transfer your soul to the Overseer,
the pirate captain said. And finally, all traces of his facade were wiped away, and I saw him for who he really was. I agree, but I would say the only other thing stranger is the fact you still think I'm Krev Alda, I stated. And then I grinned when I watched his expression fall flat off his face.